Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. Please visit our website at seedandbread.org. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his study in the book of Acts with Acts 2 and the Kingdom of God. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. It is the belief of many Bible expositors that the events recorded in Acts chapter 2 mark the beginning of the work of God today and the, and I quote, birthday of the church. Well, this is the common belief, but I do not believe that this is the case. Consider with me Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we read in this passage that they were all with one accord in one place. But where was the one place? Most people assume, for no reason, that the one place was the upper room where they'd had the Last Supper and where they met in Acts chapter 1. Now, the reason they want to think this is they want to separate this from Israel. But the facts simply don't lend themselves to this idea. Consider what Luke says. Remember, Luke wrote Luke and Acts. Consider what he says in Luke 24:52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So they were continually in the temple. So when they were all gathered together in one place, were they in the upper room? Was that where they were continually? No, they were continually in the temple. They were gathered in one place in the temple, not in the upper room. Moreover, what is this day of Pentecost that had fully come? Well, this was nothing more nor less than the ancient Feast of Weeks that God gave to Israel. Leviticus 23:15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, even seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. And understand that Pentecost, penta means 50, and Pentecost was the 50th day, the day of the Feast of Weeks. And like it says in Leviticus 23:21, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So this Feast of Weeks was established forever, and what were they celebrating on Pentecost? They were celebrating the Feast of Weeks. So the event that took place in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost is very Jewish in character. It took place in the temple God gave Israel, and it took place on the feast day God gave Israel. So how in the world can they mark the beginning of a group where all nations are joint and equal, like God's work today? Well, I don't believe this possibly can mark the beginning of God's work today. But if these things don't mark the beginning of the church, then what did begin here? Well, I believe what began here was the kingdom of God. Now, throughout the Old and New Testaments, God constantly announces and confirms that he has great plans for the future. Not just for mankind and for the people living upon the earth, but for the earth itself. Now, this prophecy goes all the way back to the beginning, to right after the fall in Genesis 3 and verse 15, where the Lord says to Satan, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, I think the bruise could better be translated crush. And Satan's head here, understand that a head is an outflowing source. and Satan's head symbolizes the very source of his power and influence. Now, to the seed of the woman that is going to crush the source of all Satan's power is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I believe that firmly. He will crush Satan's power at its very source. Now, when he does this, this will usher in the time period that is called in the New Testament the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that the kingdom of God is nothing less than the government of God upon the earth, and that God is going to someday govern all the nations of this world is made plain throughout the prophetic scriptures. For example, in Isaiah 26 and verse 9, we read this, "With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Now here we're told that someday God's judgments are going to be in the earth. And people are very ignorant regarding what judgment is today. To judge means to determine what's right, to determine what's just, to determine what the order should be, and then to set things in order. And when God sets things in order on earth, then the inhabitants of the world are going to learn righteousness. And God says this is going to take place. Now, the Psalms are really, in many ways, the songbook of the kingdom. And the Psalms are rife with prophecies of this coming time. For example, Psalm 86 and verse 9. "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." So all nations notice, not just individuals, but nations, in the form of their representative leaders, are going to come and worship before the Lord. Psalm 47, 7 through 8 says this, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits in his holy throne." Now, if you praise God as the King of all the earth, do you understand what you're saying in your praises? If God is King of the earth, that means he's ruling the earth. That means he's governing the earth. God reigning over the nation, to reign is to rule. It is to govern. To sit on your holy throne means to sit on the center of government. And if you're going to sing the praises of Psalm 47, 7 through 8 with understanding, you need to understand that that's what they mean. Psalm 22 and verse 28 says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." See, there it even defines it for us. What does it mean that the kingdom is the Lord's? It means that he rules over the nations. Psalm 9 and verse 8, "He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." He is going to judge to set in order the world in righteousness and administer judgment for the peoples of the world in uprightness. You see, that will be God's government when he does that. And then Psalm 96:10, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge, set in order, the peoples righteously." So say among all nations that the Lord governs them. See, that's the government of God. Now, the kingdom of God, the government of God, is the concept that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were setting forth when they came declaring the kingdom of God. Paul taught the same thing, as we can see in Acts 17 and verse 31. When he said, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." So the scripture has always taught that someday God is going to govern this world. And what we see happening during the events of Pentecost at Acts chapter 2 is the very beginning of that kingdom, of that government of the earth. I believe that these events at Acts 2 mark nothing less than the start, the very initial beginning of the government of God upon the earth. However, these things were not the complete government of God, but they were the kingdom in part. Now, it is obvious that God did not take control of the world and begin to rule it all through his government at that time. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself revealed that when God's government came, it would come in gradually. And he revealed this in the great parable in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is, notice this, this is what God's government is like. It is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now in this passage, the Lord compares the arrival of the coming kingdom of God, God's government of the world, to the stages of growing grain. And he lists about six stages there of growing grain, and the kingdom of God has similar stages. The kingdom of God will come this way. That is, it will not come all at once, taking over the world in an instant. We won't one instant have this world with its fallen, corrupt human governments, and the next instant have God's government fully there and fully functioning. No, rather, God's government grows and spreads, becoming more and more distinct until finally the entire world is under its control. In the Acts period, what we see is the first stages of the kingdom of God coming to pass, just like the first stages of growing grain. The seed was planted by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At Pentecost, that seed sprouted. Now it says in Mark 4, first the blade. And when a blade of grain sticks up above the ground, it's very simple. It looks like grass. You don't even know what it is. It's not even evident what kind of plant it's going to be yet. And that's what it was like in Acts. And yet throughout the Acts period, it was growing and was growing toward the head stage. But the kingdom was not yet fully there, and there was no full grain in the head. There was no full kingdom. Yet his kingdom was in the earth and growing all the same. Another way to look at the Acts period is as the kingdom in part. And I would compare this to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 through 10, where Paul says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now, the Acts period displayed all the major qualities of the kingdom of God as it will be in the future, yet it did not display them in full. They were there only in part. There was the healing and health that will be experienced by all the residents in God's kingdom. There was the judgment with God setting things in order. There was the God-given direction, God telling people exactly what to do. But these things were there only in partial form. There was not complete health for everyone on earth. Everything on earth wasn't set up in judgment, and God wasn't directing everything. It was only there in part. Another way to look at the Acts period, stage of the kingdom, is as the night period of the kingdom of God, as opposed to the day. And in Romans 13:12, Paul writes, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So I believe that the blade stage of the kingdom in part, could also be called the night period of the kingdom. Now, during its night period, the kingdom was shrouded in darkness. Except to those who believed the gospel that was being proclaimed by the apostles, the kingdom was veiled to men as to what exactly was going on. I mean, people throughout the Roman Empire didn't realize that God's government was starting. It was still starting, as it were, in the dark. Yet during the Acts period, the night ran its course. And if God had continued his kingdom work and gone on to the next stage, the head of grain, why then the day would have come. The kingdom would have come out into the open. And the full kingdom, though yet unripe, would have taken control of the earth. Yet this did not happen. Instead, God proclaimed through Paul at Acts 28:28, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now throughout the kingdom, all nations will be blessed, but they will be blessed through Israel as the head of nations. So when God announced his gospel was going out to all nations equally and the nations would be treated equally, that was an interruption in God's kingdom program. And from this point on, Acts 28:28 on, the government of God was postponed. The night period of the kingdom ran its course. The kingdom in part ran its course. The blade stage of growing grain ran its course, and the day period of the kingdom was next. And yet that day period, the full manifestation, the coming out into the open, the day period of God's government, was postponed while God began a new work. And this is his present work in grace. So I believe that Acts 2 was the beginning of the kingdom. Well, what do we see starting at Acts 2? Well, what we see in Acts 2 is that we see a sound. A sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I believe that a sound is very important in the beginning of the future kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, the Lord writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the sound of a trumpet announces the long-promised resurrection of dead believers. And I believe that this is setting forth one of the great events that takes place immediately upon the ending of this current dispensation of grace and the beginning of God's kingdom work once again. Now, the second thing that happened in Acts chapter 2 was a visible sign of fire, Acts 2:3. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them." And in the same way, there will be miraculous signs when God's government comes again, some of them having to do with fire. Peter himself talked about this in Acts 2:19-20. When he said, quoting Joel 2, "I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." So there we see that there will be great signs of fire starting the kingdom. Now these tongues of fire were not only manifestations, but we read that one sat upon each of them. And by doing so, these tongues of fire marked the Lord's disciples out as God's chosen rulers. And that's what they were in the Acts period, rulers in God's partial kingdom. In the same way, when God's kingdom comes, I believe that men will be marked out by God. And one of the ways that this will occur and that they will be marked out as God's rulers will be by fire. Consider what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 4:4-5. Speaking of that future time when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering or a canopy. So I believe in the kingdom of God, if the time came when you said, "I want to contact one of God's governors." Well, in Israel, all you'd have to do is walk out of your house and look around for this pillar of cloud or pillar of fire as a canopy over some house and say, "Aha, I'll find one of God's governors there." Now, this was related to the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night by which the Lord signified his presence with Israel in the wilderness. In Acts 13:21, we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." So whomever God has chosen to lead in his kingdom will be clearly known and understood by a similar sign of fire over their dwelling places or over their meeting places. So just like the future kingdom, these tongues of fire marked out God's leaders. Then again in Acts 2:4 we read that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this too will be paralleled in a very real and miraculous way when the kingdom of God comes at last. In Acts 2:17, again from Joel 2, Peter quotes, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So in that day of the kingdom to come, all flesh, in other words, all people living upon the earth, will experience what these men in particular experienced at that time. Consider Isaiah 32, verses 13 through 15. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars, yes, on all the happy homes and the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. So we read that Israel is in a sad state. Many of their cities are just nothing but lairs for wild beasts perpetually, and yet this sad state is reversed when the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And that's what Joel 2 was talking about, the Spirit being poured out at the start of the kingdom. Psalm 22:27 tells us something about this when it says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you." And to remember there doesn't mean to recall something you forgot, but it means to have something imprinted on your mind that wasn't there before. And the Spirit being poured out upon all men will cause something to be imprinted on their minds that will cause them to turn to the Lord. Jesus Christ tells about this in John 16:7-11, when he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come," in other words, not right away, but sometime after he has come, "he will convict the world," notice not just believers, but the world, "of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." So when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh in the future at the start of the kingdom, he will convict the world regarding sin and regarding righteousness and regarding judgment. Now the world being convicted of these things will have a great and lasting effect on the world and will be one of those things that are instrumental in bringing God's kingdom, God's government to earth. Now, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:4, we read they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what happened was that the language barrier was broken down. People were no longer divided by their native languages. And this was just as it said in Acts 2 and verse 18 of that future kingdom of God, "And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Yes, many gifts will be given by the Spirit to all God's servants, whether male or female. So I believe if we examine scripturally the miraculous events of Pentecost, we will see they parallel the events that will take place when the full kingdom comes in the future. The Acts period was not the beginning of the church, and Acts 2 was not its birthday. Acts 2 was the birthday of the kingdom of God, but not the full kingdom, an early, in part, blade, night stage of the kingdom of God. It should have been followed by the ear and then the full grain in the ear, the kingdom fully developing. And yet that kingdom has been postponed. Now that God has revealed his great purpose to administer his rule over the earth through grace. Well, Acts gives us a foretaste of what the full kingdom will be like once it comes at last. What Acts does not give us is the beginning of God's work today. Acts 2 is not the beginning of the church. Acts 2 is the beginning of the kingdom of God. We'll close the book at that point. Knowing God and the Word is now available via podcast on both Apple and Spotify. Search for our Knowing God and the Word channel and download our past episodes. We're working on uploading our full 10 years worth of programs, starting from our studies of John, Ephesians, Titus, and many more. Check us out!
What a wondrous day it must have been, the day God ushered in the blade stage of His government on earth. What a wondrous day it will be when He picks up that work again and ushers in the next stage of His kingdom. Until then, let us be diligent in seeking out the biblical truths for today in this, the dispensation of grace. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Acts 2 and the kingdom of God. On our next program, Nathan will continue his study in the book of Acts with unity among believers. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you're studying God's Word, the more you're knowing and loving God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org. and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. Please visit seedandbread.org. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We always look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.